Down with the democracy. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Winning Hand Podcast, the podcast all about Marvel Champions, one card at a time. I am your host, Boom Guy, and as always, I am joined by my two faithful companions, Keiko.
Hello.
And Lazy Titan.
How's it hanging?
What's up, you two? So today we are continuing our deep dive of Love Month, where we focus on a single team-up card every episode. Today's episode, if you clicked on the podcast, you already know it is Young Love, the team-up card between Spider-Man Miles Morales and Spider-Gwen, Gwen Stacy, or Ghost Spider, as she's known in the game. So far we've been enjoying the discussion on Love Month. What do you guys think? How's it going the first couple episodes we did? Did you guys enjoy those?
I liked them so far. I think team-up cards are cards that we don't get to talk about enough because they don't often really get played because they're sort of difficult to pull off. So I think maybe diving a little deeper into them is a good thing to do.
And I like how we kind of steered away from our typical format of a hero of the day in favor of kind of discussing those team-up cards specifically, kind of in theme with Love Month. I do enjoy it.
Yeah. No, it's a different thing, and maybe we'll try more of these in the future if Love Month is received well. But what do you guys think? Audience, are you enjoying this weekly episodic format where we dive into one theme or one topic? What do you think? Let us know. WinningHandPodcast@gmail.com. Leave a comment on the YouTube.
I don't care what you guys think.
Get in touch. Let us know. I care. Boom Guy cares. Keiko is a jerk and doesn't care.
Down with the democracy.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the other team-up cards. So far, every single team-up card that we've seen is a basic event that is gray, so it's non-aspect. Do you guys think we could see them expanding beyond basic events at some point? Could we see these cards become more than what they are right now?
I think we should. I think right now they're getting a little stale because they're just every time it's just an event that costs 1 to 3 and then it does something kind of generic if you have both heroes. But I think it could be cool if they were like supports or upgrades or aspect cards is fun, like making them like protection cards for defensive abilities if you have two heroes that works for, or just making them an upgrade that you can use maybe with charges on it or something, or like a weapon you can have, just something a little different to spice it up. Or even if it's not, even if we could just do events, make them more like reactionary. Like there's one, was it Quicksilver and Scarlet Witches is a response, but I think that's the only one. So I think more of those would be fun, more like ones you have to use at different times, maybe a minion even, or like an ally. Just throw that out there, and that could be a 2-cost ally that's only if you have these two characters.
It's not a terrible idea. Like if in the comics or in the lore, two characters have a baby, it could be like
Wanda and Vision.
I love where your head's at. Anytime we mention Vision, I'm here for it. Yeah. So it could be, you know, one of their kids, or I don't know. It's just like a general idea though, right?
Same idea. I like that. I like expanding them to past what they are. I think more variability in card design is always good.
How about aspect wise? Like, could we see these cards in aspects? What about, could we see them in signature cards even? What do you guys think?
I think I agree. I'd like to see them more, and they should be more spread out into the different aspects. I don't think we ever will see them that way. But we talked about it before, how the abilities on those cards are kind of generic, and breaking them down into different aspects could make them more specific to what those abilities do, and even tying them into said pair-ups.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about how to improve them, what we would change. And it might seem like a lot of work to break them down into different aspects, but if we're already talking theoretics anyway, then that would be something I'd like to see, is how each aspect can kind of break down the pair-ups abilities depending on, you know, the aspect that they belong to.
I think team-up cards and aspects could be interesting. I understand why they're basic, right? Because it just is more limiting in terms of deck building if they're not. But I think you could come up with a whole series of them. Like, why not? Why is there only one? You know, like, I mean, Phoenix has, she shows up in two. Phoenix has one with Storm, but she also has one with Cyclops. Why can't we have, you know, Phoenix and any Avenger, or Cyclops and Hulk, and that might be an aggression card. And then Cyclops and Iceman might be it. You know, like you could just mix it up. I think that could be kind of cool.
Exactly. And the other thing too is, speaking on Black Widow, right? Preparation cards were released in different aspects so that you could theoretically build in different aspects. I think Psylocke came with different aspect cards. Yeah, I haven't played her yet, but from what I can remember opening her hero pack, she had different aspect cards to build her with a psionic trait as well.
She did. I don't remember what those were, but she definitely did.
I can't remember either. Yeah.
I think that works as like a way to design them. I don't know if I want to see that happen because I feel like that makes them too specific when they're already so specific they don't even get played as basic events. You'd have to maybe make it like X hero and anyone, or an Avenger and a Guardian or something. Like a more generic combo that can be pulled off more reasonably rather than like Ant-Man and Wasp in aggression, because then that would be kind of pigeonholing your deck into a certain spot. But maybe that's what you want. If you want to team up, you gotta do something specific.
But it could be in addition with the basic cards that exist too. You know, like you're just building the card pool even bigger. It's just giving you more options, and maybe breaking them down into different aspects. You could kind of tailor make those abilities rather than having a generic ability with being limited to basic. I don't know. That's just kind of something that's rambling through my head.
I agree. I think if you make them into aspect cards, you know, I haven't put a ton of time into this and I'm not a game designer, but I feel like you could do more variety of things. So instead of, I don't know, heal two and ready or whatever, they're kind of generic now, as we've discussed. I think if you made them aspect, there might be a different aspect card for each team up, right? So Ant-Man and Wasp might have one in leadership, and the leadership one fetches out an attachment for an ally or readies an ally or does something like that. Whereas the aggression Ant-Man and Wasp might deal damage and so like you could really tailor them to do something that has to do with their aspect. That could be kind of fun. You could have a whole series, but I really think more than anything, what I would like to see is the alliance keyword and the team up cards kind of come together more. I really feel like that's a natural fit. And so then you could make it more, it could be team-based, it could be individual heroes, it could be all kinds of different stuff. But, you know, paying for it with different resource pools is a good idea, I think.
And it would give more opportunity to have more team-up cards in your deck. Because that was something else we discussed, was trying to wait for that one team-up card in your entire deck based on all the criteria that you have checked off. It's kind of hard to come across. So having multiple, I don't know, might work out.
I think you still have to limit them. Like, you can only have so many in your deck just because they might be really powerful. But I also think that if they do bring the alliance like aspect in, we've talked about alliance before, the per person cost, I think, is something we need to leave behind. I think that's not the way to do it. I think you just give it a static cost and give it alliance to make it even better, rather than like the cost per person is really can tank a card, and that would make them sort of unplayable.
I almost thought the alliance keyword was a good way to say these team up cards, because if you're both getting a benefit, you can both chip in. I think it maybe needs to be a little bit lower.
I think alliance is a good way to do it. I just think it can't be the per person cost. I think that ruins alliance because it's so much, and those cards are not worth that cost. I think alliance is the way to go, though.
What do you guys think about taking cards and making them like different than events? Like, what if they were upgrades or supports or allies? You know, like, what if they're totally different cards altogether?
So still team up cards, but just not an event? Like, how would you?
I mean, it's the same thing, right? Like, if you have Wasp and Ant-Man in play, you can put in this card, which is, I don't know, Pym Particle Serum or something like that, right?
I like that. I like the idea of definitely just expanding the card types, because there's no reason to limit it the way it is. There's no reason just to be basic events. Make them aspects, make them allies, make them upgrades, make them whatever. Might as well see what they can do with that rather than like confining them to the one thing they've been doing, which isn't doing that well.
And it would probably increase the chances of them being played, right? Because again, trying to check off all the boxes for the requirements and then it being an event having to be play in that moment. If it's a support or an upgrade and it's like you can put it into play and it doesn't trigger until all the criteria is met, then it might, I don't know, find its way onto the board more often.
Yeah, if you could just play it and then activate it once or twice whenever the criteria was met, it would be a lot easier to pull those off.
Or they could just be like, you know, like we have cards like Ingenuity, for example. Like if you have the Genius keyword, you can play this. Or if you have the Mutant keyword, you can play this or that. But what if it's a card where if you control two Genius characters, or for each Genius character you control, do something, you know, or you can only play it if you have. And then once it's in play, like Ingenuity, I guess you can flip over to your hero side and you lose genius, but you still have the card in play. It could be something similar to that, right? Where you, if you have two tiny characters in play, for example, then you can play this card. And then I guess it's less of a team up. I mean, no, it's still a team up then, right? Because you have to have two tiny characters in play. So then you would have to make sure you have things aligned. And then you could have an upgrade in play or a support in play that is unique to them somehow.
I like that idea. I think that'd be interesting to see as a dynamic to the gameplay.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Actually, I think team up cards need a refurbish. They need a redo. I think they're cool, but I think they could be better, and they should be.
We have a lot of traits, right? We have a lot of, you know, there's a whole bunch of aerial stuff that came out in the last wave with Angel, and there's a bunch of aerial characters. But what if there was cards that required two aerial characters or three aerial characters or something to play to make it really good? But it, you know, forces you to build even more of that archetype or trait into a deck. That could be kind of fun.
We already have a little bit of that with aerial superiority, but I think aerial is a good one for that, but also other keywords can work. Avengers, Guardians, tiny, even giant, genius, whatever you want. You can make that into like a whole thing. Instead of just like a team up card for characters, you could do like a genius team up card. You can do whatever. The traits, I think, are fun to play with, and I think they should be using them more than they do, which they use them a lot, but I think they could definitely use them even more.
I really like the idea of a team-up card being trait-based like that. Like, you know, we have some around Avengers or Guardians or whatever, and some of the Alliance cards specifically have to deal with Avengers and Guardians, right? But what if it was just a team-up card for, yeah, genius characters, and then if you control two genius characters, or you control one and a friend controls one, you can play this card if they're in play, and then something cool happens. I think leaning into that even more would be really awesome. So I think that could be cool. I mean, I don't know how exactly, again, I'm not a game designer, but I don't know how exactly a support or an upgrade would work. It would have to be something unique to those characters, but I feel like there's something to explore there that isn't just a basic event card.
Yeah, I think they lose a lot of theme because they don't feel very like individual or specific to the hero. So they're just kind of good, which is nice, but I think you want more like individuality in those team up cards, especially team up cards, because they're about like the characters working together.
That, yeah. And getting like the biggest bang for your buck, as we mentioned too, like when you eventually play that card, that basic event, it's just the payoff you get from it is kind of whatever. So this might be a way to kind of fix that too.
I just think there's more that could be done with team up cards that isn't being done now, but I do think that it was surprising to me when looking through all the cards that they're all just basic events. And I get it. That's like the easiest kind of thing to get across decks, right? Because it's basic, so it can go in any deck. So it doesn't matter what aspects you're playing. It would be more difficult, like we've said, if it's an aggression event that requires Ant-Man and Wasp that just further narrows and further, you know, creates a smaller and smaller niche where that card would ever be played. But I think we've created a pretty small arena where these cards would be played anyway. So why not try something different? You know, instead of these heroes coming with a single card of these basic events, what if they came with four cards and there was one in each aspect, or I don't know, an upgrade and an event or something like that, just to play with stuff a little bit.
And again, they'd be in addition to the already existing basic team up cards anyway. So there would be potentially be two in a deck, two team up cards.
And I like the idea, for example, of like Stinger, if they ever bring in like Stature, you know, these like ant characters to follow on after we talked about Swarm Tactics a couple episodes ago. You know, what if Stinger was cheaper if you had two ant characters in play? Or what if Stinger could only be played if you had two giant characters or something like that? You know, I'm not saying we redesign characters that already exist and cards that already exist in the game, but I think stuff like that where it's an ally that can only put in play. Maybe it's, I don't know, Hank Pym, some version of him that can only be played if you have those two in play.
More variety in card design is always better. I think that's always the way to go. And I think if that means switch up the team of cards, I think that's definitely the way they should be leaning, at least.
And there can always be more additions to the card pool, to the game, right? Like everything we're saying wouldn't get rid of cards that already exist. We're just adding more to it, which just provides more opportunity. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can just do more. I mean, the cards that exist already exist. So in the future, you can just try something different.
And also at the end of the day, you know, everything we talk about here is a discussion, you know, it's not to diminish any efforts that were made in the cards that already exist. Yeah.
No, like I'm happy we have the cards. Obviously, we love the game enough to start a podcast about it. So it's not like I'm mad about anything, but I just think there's other avenues it could be explored. And,
yes,
you know, I'm curious what people listening think. You know, if you're listening to this and you have a cool idea or some wacky idea, hit us up in Discord or send us an email or whatever. All the ways to contact us are in the show notes down below, Instagram or email, whatever, winninghandpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you think, because I would love to hear your ideas. I mean, there's ideas, obviously, that I've never thought of, and you may have some cool ones. It's just part of the discussion. And speaking of discussion, we have an audience question that I'm going to read to us today, and we're going to talk about something else. So we got a question from Anthony. Anthony says, "Hey guys, I really enjoy your podcast. The format of examining one card at a time is very cool." Thank you, Anthony. Yes, it is cool. He said, "I really enjoyed the recent draft on the Repurpose episode. Here's a question I have. This is my first LCG. My wife and I have been playing for just over a year now, and we play weekly, often multiple times a week. I've never played Lord of the Rings or Arkham Horror, but I'm aware those games have run for a long time. My question is this: when does the game get to be overwhelming? At what point will we look at our Marvel Champions box and think, wow, I don't even know where to start or what deck to build? I don't mean this to sound negative. We love the game and Marvel and want it to continue. I'm just curious what you all think, or if this has happened with other LCGs that you've played. I also asked this question of the guys at Critical Encounters, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it as well. Thanks for the content and keep up the great work." Well, thanks for sending us an email, Anthony. It's always good to get emails from people. If I didn't read your email on the air yet, I'm sorry. I try to read as many as I can.
They're just not worthy enough. That's all.
Well, that's not true. But as to his question, he says, when does the game get overwhelming? Like, at what point do you look at your box of stuff and think, this is too much, you know, I'll just like play something else or whatever. I can't be bothered. What do you guys think?
Well, it would be right now, but you're already in. So you're already in the game. So you're going to be able to keep up with all of it, I think, until you stop playing. So because you're already in the game, you're going to have to like keep buying all the stuff, but like forget about it for a few months, maybe a year, and then come back to it. And then it's going to be overwhelming. If you just keep up with it, you'll just be able to keep all of it in your head. At least that's how it worked for me. But when you don't play one of these games for a long time, like when I don't play Lord of the Rings for a while or Arkham for a while and go back to it, it's a lot. Those games specifically are even harder than Marvel. So maybe Marvel will never get to that point, but Lord of the Rings deck building is a lot more intense and a lot more complicated and a lot more time consuming. And it gets even more time consuming the longer I go without playing it. Cause then I go back to it and I don't know all the cards and I don't know where to start and I don't know how the scenarios work. And I don't remember where I'm at. And then you kind of lose the rhythm. But as long as you're keeping up with it, especially in Marvel, which is even easier than the other two, you'll be fine.
I think the overwhelming part is when you're pretty much learning what every single card is versus when you're already in the game and you're just learning whatever new gets released. But yeah, if you give it some time and multiple packs and scenarios come out, then it's just you're learning a bunch of cards all over again. So that would probably be the overwhelming point.
So he mentions in his email that he joined the game a little over a year ago, which would have been, as we're recording this in February of 2024, that would have been, what, just before the X-Men maybe? During the first wave of X-Men, somewhere in there. I think a lot of people joined during the first wave of X-Men. I think that brought a lot of new players in. So at that point, I would imagine it was probably overwhelming. There was already 3-4 big boxes. I don't know how many heroes there were, 30 maybe, 20, 30, 35. I imagine when you got into the game at that point, it was like, wow, there's a ton of cards here. Where do I start? How does this all fit together? And we've talked about this a little bit over the other episodes. I'll just say brief. I mean, I got in right around the start. I got in with the first or second hero pack. Miss Marvel, Captain America time is when I got in, and then I got a core set and have been in ever since. And so I grew up with the game, so to speak, right? So as new cards came out, I only had to learn a single hero pack at a time or a big box at a time, and I played those for a while, and then the next one would come out. There's always a gap, so you have time to play those cards. I think if you're getting in today, man, that's a lot. You know, the game is built so that you can walk up to the counter at your local game shop, buy your favorite hero, whoever that is, unshrink, and just start playing. And you can play that pre-con. It may not be great, but you have a functioning deck. And so if you just run into a game group at a local shop and they're like, hey, go buy a pack and join us, that's cool. And that's happened. My old game group, we had a guy like that who just stumbled in one day and was like, this sounds cool. I read about your game group online. Can I play? And he bought his favorite hero and sat down and unshrinked it and just started playing with us. But, you know, I guess when does it become overwhelming? I don't know. I think at some point it will. I think like Lazy Titan said, if you take a break from it and then come back, you might be like, oh boy, you know, how do I deck build again? Like what? I have to refamiliarize myself with all the cards.
I think another thing of note to add too is this game is very community based. I think it helps a lot when you're playing with someone or at least experiencing it with someone. Because I joined in the middle of the game itself not too long ago even. But it helped that I was interested in just the spiders of the game, and I was able to experience it with you two, with Boomer and Titan. So I think it helps a lot that you, Anthony, were able to experience this with your wife. You guys are able to bounce things off each other, kind of refer to the rules with each other. Like I think it's very different when it's yourself versus with other people.
I think ultimately if you don't like buy more of the game, it won't become more overwhelming. It does also depend on how many physical cards you own, because that's how much you have to remember and keep in your head. So if you have a small collection, it's probably not that hard of a game to keep track of. If you're like buying every pack and keeping up with it, even while you take a break or something, then you're going to come back and be like, wow, this is too much for me. I don't even know how I've ever played this game. But if you just like stopped tomorrow, came back in 2 months, you'd probably be fine because you knew all the stuff you had. It's just the amount of new things you have to learn. So the more things you have, the longer break you take will be the harder it is to come back to it. So just don't lose the game and don't buy stuff you don't need.
Yeah, to piggyback on that, a big thing I think is important in any LCG, but especially in this one, is organization. There's a ton of cards. It's ever expanding. I think you need to have a good system for how to find cards, like whatever that is for you. I like to organize player cards by aspect and then by subtype, you know, supports, upgrades, events, and then by cost even more, which I think early on sounds like a lot. That's a lot of divisions. But as the game grows, right, I have a full collection as of this point. And when you need to find a 3-cost justice event, it's just a lot easier when you only have to go through 30 cards and not through 300 cards or 3,000 cards. So organization is a big point. But I think what Keiko mentioned is the community aspect, and that's really important. If you have people that you're playing with in person, that's awesome. I find for me, that's always the best way to do it. I'm not a huge solo player, though. I will play here and there, but I definitely prefer playing with other people. If you're a solo player, great. It sounds like Anthony likes to play with his wife, so it's at least 2-player. So having people to talk about it with is great. But there's always lots of other resources. So Discord, there's a huge community on Discord. There's multiple Discord servers dedicated to living card games generally or to Marvel Champions. There is a huge Reddit community. The Marvel Champions LCG subreddit is big. People post questions there all the time. And I try to answer when I can. Other people answer all the time as well. It might be rules questions. It might be advice on things or if they played something correctly or if they made a mistake, whatever. People just want to share their enjoyment with the game. And then lastly, I'll just say, you know, it can get overwhelming if you don't know what to buy or what to do. One of the great things about the LCG model from Fantasy Flight is that literally every hero pack has a QR code on the back, and you can use that QR code to see exactly what cards are in that pack. So if you're not sure if you should buy Wasp or Star-Lord or whoever, Colossus, not a bad example, Colossus isn't a big box, but you know what I mean. If you're any hero pack that you want to buy, you can click on that with your phone, look at the QR code. It'll show you every card that's in there. So you might think some of those other player cards are ones you really want or ones you really don't want, but there's no guessing. There's no buying singles or booster packs. So that's really great too.
And even Marvel CDB is a good resource for deck building specifically. So there's a lot of avenues for every aspect of what you want to look into.
And there's lots of great podcasts, or there's at least one. Well, he mentioned another one. He mentioned Critical Encounters. They're awesome, so big shout out to them. I also should give a shout out to some of the other ones. If you're listening to this podcast, you must enjoy audio podcasts. So I know Nelson and Villain Theory have one called Shadow of the Cast. Anthony mentioned Critical Encounters podcast. They're really great. There's another one called Marvel Champions. They're a little more recent. It's two brothers that talk about Marvel Champions. They're awesome. Go check them out. And then Marvel Champions Monthly was the big one early on. I think they're probably still the biggest. And they're the ones who run the Con of Heroes every year. So you know, there's a big community out there for this game, and it seems to be growing. Like, the YouTube community and the podcasting community seems to be expanding, which is, I think, good news for the game.
Yeah, it should keep going as long as people are there to play it. So seeing it grow is a good sign for us.
Yeah, seeing more content creators, I think, means there's more people playing it, and then it expands their reach. So that's a good sign. All right, so let's focus on the mission of our podcast, which is to talk about one card. And we've gone this far in without mentioning much about this card. So let's transition to Young Love, our card of the day. Before we start, we will read the card, and then we'll kind of go through the quick categories that we like to talk about: art, theme, power, and fun. Keiko, you are the resident self-confessed, self-declared spider's freak. Can you please read the card for us today?
Yes, I can. So we got here Young Love. It is a one-cost basic event, and there is no traits to it. It is a team-up card, Gwen Stacy, Miles Morales, max one per deck. It is an alter ego action, which is to heal three damage each from Gwen Stacy and Miles Morales, and the card itself is a wild resource.
As always, we talk about the art. The art in this panel is from a comic. It is from Spider-Man Volume 2, Number 12. It was the cover in 2017. And this card came in the Sinister Motives expansion box. It came with two copies, so one for essentially each of the heroes that came in that box. So that's the only copies that exist of it so far.
Fun fact, I own that comic.
That is a very fun fact. You own this comic, Lazy Titan?
I do own that comic. And I have, that's where I'm just now realizing that as we find out that that's where that's from. I'm just now realizing that's where I recognize that art from. I own and have read that comic. Just hit me now.
Are you a big comic reader?
Not a huge comic reader. I own like three, but that's one of them. So it's a good one. If you want to go find that comic, I would recommend it. It's a good one. But
so you're saying,
a fun fact.
You're saying you own three comics in your entire collection, and this happens to be one of them?
Yes, that is correct. I can't think of any others that match Marvel Champions card art, but there might be some.
Well, that is an anecdote. Thank you. Let's transition to talk about the art. And why don't you go first, Lazy Titan, since you're the guy who seems to be more familiar with this art than we are and has seen it in probably a larger format than I am seeing it now. So tell us about the art.
That is true. It was a lot bigger than a standard size playing card when I bought the comic book. I don't hate it. It's just, the art is basically just Miles and Gwen upside down, spider masks on, smooching it out. That's what we're looking at here. It's upside down, which is like the whole spider thing, but the mask, I don't know if I love the mask thing. I think it's drawn well, but just the half mask is a little weird. Not going to lie.
Yeah,
it's a little strange.
Their masks are like rolled up to their noses, so their identities, I guess, are not given away, and their eyes are still the Spider-Man mask eyes, but they're not fully unmasked as they smooch, as you so eloquently put it.
Yeah, but and the background is like a nice pink. It's a cool art, definitely. There's like some neon line in the bottom right corner. I don't know what that is, but.
Oh, I do see it. It's like an energy beam or something coming off of it.
I think it's like a neon heart around them that we're only seeing the corner of. I have no evidence for that, but I feel like that's right.
Well, maybe. You did suggest that you actually did have evidence for that. You've seen
but
the larger
I don't,
image.
I don't remember. I don't have it on me right now. So I
he actually
I'm gonna,
shredded
I'm gonna,
it after
I'm gonna
he pointed it out.
Take a hard line in the sand. I'm going to say that's what it is. I'm going to say I'm right. And anyone who's against that take is wrong.
Keiko, what do you think?
I was also going to point out, I like the fact that they're both upside down, right? Very, very spider person kiss, as you could put it. I don't like the flat lighting to it. I mean, obviously, I don't know the context of the environment they're in because it's pulled from a street panel. But compared to Beauty and the Thief, that had so much lighting and mood and tone to it, this is just kind of a flat photo almost. And I don't mind the rolled up mask. The only thing I don't like is that the eyes are open, right? Because in the comics and in the Spider-Verse movies, their masks are so animated and they have their eyes closed and everything, but they're open here. I mean, again, but I don't have this comic
specifically.
So yeah,
I hadn't thought about the fact that their eyes do close.
Yeah, so maybe that's why it seems awkward, is because we're used to seeing their expressions in their eyes in the comics, in the Spider-Verse movies. So seeing them wide open here in this photo is kind of, it's kind of jarring.
I will reference the earlier point that Lazy Titan made about the weird line on the bottom. So anyone listening to this on their phone probably did what I just did and did a quick Google search. It's not a heart. It's just her mask. It just got cut in a weird way in the image, and it looks kind of strange. But the image that I Googled, it's just like the hood of her mask, just like a line on it. So nothing amazing there. I'm sorry to disappoint our listeners and Lazy Titan, but
that's exactly what I said it was.
That's I remember. I was there, and that's what you said. The young love, the kiss with the eyes. I don't know. I think this art is... it's like right in the middle for me. I don't love it. I don't hate it. I think it's fine. I guess it gets across the point. For me, maybe what I think is a little odd about it is that they're going to great lengths to keep their identities hidden. I don't know if... I don't read the comics, so I don't know if they know each other's identities in the comics at this point or whatever, or if they're just like in public smooching, so they want to have their identities hidden. But it strikes me as weird that in the image they're rolling their masks to keep their identities hidden, and yet it's an alter ego action which addresses healing them. I find that a little strange because it's not Spider-Man and Ghost Spider, it's Gwen Stacy and Miles Morales, but we don't see that version of them in the picture. So I think that's a little, there's a little discord there for me.
They definitely know each other's alter egos. They just, I must be trying to hide it from, I don't know, J. Jonah Jameson or whatever.
Do they know in the movies?
They know each other's names and take their masks off all the time in the Spider-Verse movies. But I know that in this comic specifically, they know each other's names and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of treated it as just a Spider-Person thing, right? Just that rolled up mask. But yeah, maybe they're just out and about. It's hard to say because the background is just this pink nothingness. So the context of where they're at doesn't really come across.
Yeah, the pink void is clearly a stylistic choice. It's not, they're obviously not in an actual pink void, but I don't know if I like it. I kind of would kind of wish it was just like this, like, I don't know, like New York City behind them or something. I
feel like, yeah, it should have been like an upside down New York or something.
Yeah, like,
or
just, or like New York skyline.
Yeah.
Something just like, just a little more Spider-Man into it. But it's fine. Like Boom Guy said, it's all right. It's not the best. It's not terrible. It gets the point across.
Does this feel thematic? I mentioned a little bit already, I guess, the fact that it's an alter ego action. I think, if memory serves, this is the only team-up card that is an alter ego action. I think the rest of them are all actions or hero actions, just off the top of my head. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I believe you're right.
Does it feel thematic that for one cost you just heal three from each? I don't know.
I mean, it does not feel very thematic, but it definitely helps both those heroes. They both have lower hit point totals and can use that extra healing to ready up faster. I don't know if I'd call it thematic. It's just healing. Like, it's not anything special that they do individually or as a team. It just feels like something that is generically good. But again, Miles has 9 hit points, so that extra healing can be really nice.
I think it's kind of hard to say because one of like the core traits to a spider person is that willpower, like that indomitable willpower. The whole thing of getting knocked down, but then getting back up despite the odds. So maybe that's what they're trying to get. It's a bit of a stretch, right? That's just kind of a core Spider-Man trait that I'm trying to correlate with this. But yeah, it is kind of a disconnect with what theme they're trying to hit. But that's what I'm trying to connect with this, is you're healing damage because you're getting up, right? They have each other. That's young love. It's expressed there. They kind of give each other that strength. Despite the odds, they get back up a little stronger than they were before.
We've talked before about how some of these are a little generic. I think in this instance, what you're describing, a readying effect would feel thematic. I think a lot of the cards, or a lot of the team-up cards, excuse me, ready them, and it just feels like, okay, you're readying each other. But in that case, a ready might feel thematic. I also think, why can't it interact with things that are specific to the spiders in the game? Like, they both have web shooters. Why doesn't it ready your web shooter or go find a web shooter?
They do not both have web shooters. She has web bracelets. They are different, but it could do something. I think it could do something with George Stacy. They both have like alter ego, so it could find like George Stacy, and Jefferson Davis is terrible, but it could find him, something like that, or it could find their alter ego supports, or find Genki or something.
Yeah, or something with Spidey sense, something that could really connect them. And I didn't notice the alter ego action either until I was reading this card. That is a strange choice to limit even further.
I definitely think that the alter ego thing is an odd choice. And yes, though, they do not both have web shooters. You know what I'm saying. They have whatever they're called, wrist gauntlets or web, whatever they're called. They could seek them out. They could, seeking out a support, I guess, is helpful, right? But I feel like a lot of people have that. Seeking out a very specific piece of tech that only spiders have makes it feel like, okay, I'm a little more invested in the theme here. Like how the swarm tactics we talked about, how that specifically deals with changing form, and every hero changes form to an alter ego and hero, but the ant people have multiple forms that felt a little more thematic, So I like the idea that it could go find something that's unique to them, right? The ants could go get Pym particles, their special resource they both have. And here you could get the web bracelets or the wrist gauntlets or ready them or something just to make it feel a little more specific to them. I feel like generically healing three doesn't feel thematic to me at all. So that's kind of a whiff for me on this one.
Because web block is a constant thing that every spider person's running into. So that would have been a cool alternate ability to kind of tap into, is something with their web bracelets or respectively.
Wait, what's web block?
They always run into something where they either run out of web fluid, or for those that have organic webs, they kind of run into a mental thing, so they can't generate their webs. Like each spider person kind of runs into a situation one time or another where they just have a web block. They can't produce webs for whatever reason. So yeah. that would have been a cool thing to tap into with their team up, is something web related. Or
like when Tobey Maguire couldn't shoot webs. Was that Spider-Man 2 or is that Spider-Man 3?
I think 2.
I always thought that was like a metaphor for erectile dysfunction, but
I think a lot of people
maybe
do,
they actually just forget how to do webs for a little bit. And we're just going to leave that one there. Why could it not be both? Exactly, Lizzie Titan.
The true team-up card.
Oof, okay, we're going to cut that from the pod. Okay, what about the power and the fun of this card? What do you guys think?
I don't think this card is really all that good, because it says heal 3 damage each from Gwen Stacy and Miles Morales, which are alter egos, which means you both have to be an alter ego to do this alter ego action, which is even more annoying than a normal alter ego action. So it's adding an extra step onto an alter ego action to pay one cost to do my recover. And that's it.
That was another thing we talked about, was when it specifically states if you have to be an alter ego or not. Because what if you're Miles or Gwen, but then you only had the ally, which is technically both, right? But it doesn't have like a flip side to go to.
Well, whoever plays the card has to be an alter ego for sure.
Yeah.
Does the other one have to be an alter ego? I don't know. That's a rules question. Listeners?
Well, if you're in Spider-Man form, it doesn't say Miles Morales. So you're not in there's no character named Miles Morales in play.
It still says it on hero side. It says Spider-Man, and then underneath it says in small font Miles Morales, right?
It does not. That's only for the allies. So for the allies, it doesn't matter because you can use either one. But for the heroes, you have to be both in alter ego form to make this work, which heals you for 6 total damage, but it's ultimately very difficult to pull off and hard to make work.
Interesting.
And because, as you mentioned at the top of the episode, because they do not have each other as a signature ally, if you are playing solo or playing with another player who's not playing the other hero, you have to also put another card into your deck that you have to build. Like if you're playing Gwen, you would have to either play with the basic Miles Morales ally or the green protection Miles Morales ally. You're having to put multiple cards into your deck just to make this work. You know, with Ant-Man and Wasp, they at least already have each other, and you have to include that in every deck. So you're going to have it no matter what. But in this one, you would have to include that other person in order to make this card even playable.
Yeah, because despite the setup, which on its own is a headache, this card is really only useful when you yourself are playing as Miles, where you're healing a third of your overall health and you have a Gwen ally, which I guess would heal her entirely, but it really only works with allies because that's their whole health. But even then, like first aid, a basic event, it can just heal.
I'd rather
two.
Play first aid.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think this card is very strong, to be honest. The power and the fun here also both feel like a whiff for me. This card is unnecessarily complicated to set up to play. The payoff is not amazing. And I just, I think the power and fun misses for me. What do you guys think?
And the fact that the card itself is a wild resource like that doesn't help wanting to play it at all. You'd rather just spend that as a resource that works for anything.
Amen, brother.
And the spiders don't really have a huge resource like requirement. They often don't really care. I guess technically Peter Parker, the basic ally, cares, but other than him, like, there's really no spider thing that cares about specific resources, so that wild resource is kind of irrelevant, and you can only play it in those decks anyway. So it just doesn't end up really mattering, even though that's kind of the best part about it.
Let's move into final thoughts then. I will go ahead and go first, because I feel like I just said a lot of it a minute ago. For me, this card is a miss, like a hard miss. I'm going to give this one like 2 out of 10. This is a hard miss for me. I think the art is forgettable. I think the theme is non-existent. I think the power is bad, and the fun as a result of all of that is really lacking. I don't think this is very good. I don't include this in any deck anymore. When they first came out, I think I tried to use it a few times, but I just don't think this card's worth it. So this is one that gathers dust in my box and won't come out to see play. 2 out of 10.
I agree. I think this card is pretty weak, and I think a huge part of that, maybe all of it, is because it says alter ego action. If this was a hero action that said heal 3 damage from Spider-Man and Ghost Spider, this would be really actually quite good. That's really powerful, because it means you don't have to flip down, which is like the benefit of healing cards, is that you don't have to flip down to do it, whereas this card is just also healing when you flip down, which is what you flip down for. So it kind of is redundant in itself, unhelpful on its own, and not very useful without a lot of setup that isn't really that beneficial to do. So you really get almost nothing for a lot of work. And that's just, I think you could have made this a hero event. You could have made this a lot of things, but it wasn't made to be that great. So I'll give it a 2 as well.
I would rather play Crew Quarters for sure. I think Crew Quarters is a better card. And honestly, I would rather play another card that I really never play, which is Recuperation. I'd rather play that than this card, because at least it's more broadly applicable. This is a miss for me. Keiko?
Yeah, I think I'm going to be a little harsher, just because there really aren't any redeeming qualities. I'm going to give it a 1, because I agree. The art baseline, right? Neutral, 5. It gets the point across. It's all right. Team-up cards already in general kind of lose points because of the setup that they have, but the payoff you get from this is like, eh. I mean, even in this little discussion, we pointed out missed opportunities for what they could have done with spider team-ups, right, between Miles and Gwen.
Yeah. But
heal 3 damage is like, eh. No, 1 out of 10 for me.
Yeah, it's like that's the best you could come up with, right? Yeah. I don't know. It's
sad because they're spiders. I love spiders, but this is...
I know. This might be, of all the cards we've talked about, the hardest miss so far for me. This really does not do much for me, which is too bad because the heroes are cool and, you know, team-up cards have potential, but I think they really missed the opportunity to make this, like, unique to the spiders in any way or these characters in any way or just make it good. So, well, that is going to do it for us today. Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you like what you hear and you want to hear more of it, hit subscribe on whatever platform you're on and you will get more of our podcast. I will put links down below in YouTube or in the show notes on your podcast. If you want to hear any of the other podcasts that I mentioned, please go give them a listen, or anything else we talked about will be down below. For me and for Keiko and for Lazy Titan, I will say goodbye, and we hope to see you next time for the final installment of Love Month. Thanks, everybody.
Later.
I need to be healed 3 damage for this episode.
No.